Shortly after Archbishop Fulton Sheen's ordination, before he was even assigned to a parish, his bishop sent him on to France for further studies to get a degree from the University of Paris. He did not yet speak French or know French, so they sent him to do some summer courses, and he lived in a boarding house. And there was a matron who ran the house, and he noticed throughout the summer this profound interior sadness that he couldn't figure out why she emanated that. And one day this woman came to him and she said, "Father, I've been Catholic my whole life. I was baptized Catholic. I was married in the Catholic Church. My husband went off to World War I. We had just had our first child together. When he came back, he left me. It's destroyed my life and my daughter's. She's now a woman of the streets. I haven't seen my husband in years. My business is failing." And she reached down into her apron pocket and pulled out a small bottle. And she said, "Father, this is poison. I intend to take it and do away with my life because I see no point in living. Is there anything that you can do for me?" And he said, "Madam, I cannot do anything for you if you intend to take that. I beg you to give me 9 days." And he began a novena to the Sacred Heart. And he knew that when our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary, he made many promises for those devoted to his Sacred Heart, and one of them was that a priest devoted to his heart would be given the grace to touch even the most hardened of hearts. And so every day he would go before a statue of the Sacred Heart and he would kneel down, and this is all that he would say: "Jesus, if you really love souls, and I know that you do, save this one." Every day, "Jesus, if you really love souls, and I know that you do, save this one." And as the days progressed, he began to think, "If I could just get her to go back to confession, everything would be all right." But he was afraid to present that to her. He went into the church on the last day, knelt down, made that prayer, and the woman walked through the chapel doors. And she said, "Father, I think I need to go to confession." He heard her confession, gave her Holy Communion for the first time in many years, and things started to change. He leaves, he goes to Paris to continue his studies. A few months into it, he gets a letter from this lady, and she said, "I finally have heard from my daughter. She's in a hospital. They don't think she's going to live. Father, will you please pray for her?" He writes back and he says, "I do not believe this will end in death. I believe our Lord wants to bring some great good from it. You must trust in him and place your daughter in his hands." He got another letter from her a couple of months later. She said, "When I knelt down to place my daughter in his hands, I was in the hospital right beside her bed. My husband walked through the door, and he knelt down next to me. It was the beginning of their reconciliation. The daughter recovered." At the end of that semester, he went to visit his family. At the end of the year, so the next summer, he went to visit that family and spent a day with them. And he went to visit the local parish priest to see if they had returned to the faith. This is what he said about that family: "They are the most wonderful Catholics I know. Isn't it beautiful when people keep the faith their entire lives?" What struck me profoundly was his confidence when he made that prayer to our Lord: "Just give me 9 days." On one occasion, I was on a retreat with a group of about 30 people, and we were gathered in a small chapel, and they read this reading of Bartimaeus, the blind man. And they read it one time, and then they turned the lights low, and they said, "Now we'll read it a second time, and we want every single one of you to place yourself in the story as if you were the blind Bartimaeus." And then they read the story, and to then be Bartimaeus and to cry out, "Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me." And they can't stop you from crying out, and they say, "Jesus is calling you, come." And then they read our Lord's words, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then the priest walked out with the monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament and said, "Our Lord is here. Why don't you tell him?" And every one of us went up one by one before the altar, before our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, and the priest stood to the side and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" I've never heard such deep prayer in my life. As I told our Lord what I wanted him to do for me, the tears streamed down my face. And I have the sense this is the way that we should pray always. Our Lord is just waiting, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we're so slow to ask him sometimes. Because deep within us there's this lack of confidence. Will he really answer? And I think typically there are three primary reasons that we don't believe that he will answer. One of the first is that if there is something in our lives that we need to amend, if there is some way in which we are not truly living our faith, we won't have that confidence to ask Jesus whatever our hearts speak. If we have fallen off from our prayer lives, if we don't have time every single day with our Lord, there will not be that intimacy. And so we'll hesitate. But I think perhaps the most common is that we struggle to believe that God really loves us. I had a man come to confession one time, and I could tell by the way he confessed that he was a faithful Catholic. He knew the teachings of the church. And yet something was amiss, and I couldn't pinpoint it. And after he had said all of his sins, he said, "Father, can I tell you something?" I said, "Of course." He said, "I believe absolutely everything the church teaches, with the exception of one element." And I would have expected one of the church's moral teachings. He said, "I do not believe that God is love. I do not believe that he is a loving God." I began to make response, and he wouldn't let me. He said, "Father, save your breath. Nothing you can say is going to matter. I've thought this for years." And I said, "Okay, well then let me at least give you a penance." And that's where I knew I had him, right? I said, "I want you to go before our Lord for the next 9 days. And I want you to kneel before him in the Blessed Sacrament. And I want you to ask him, 'Jesus, if you really are love, reveal to me how much you love me. Manifest to me your infinite love. I want to believe.'" It's something I think every single one of us should do from time to time. This may sound crazy. A couple of days ago, I took a few miraculous medals, and I went over to the YMCA. You know, there's this big park, the YMCA Center, behind Presentation. And I had this sense that God wants to give that park to us, to Presentation. And so Mother Teresa, she used to, when she would want to start a new foundation in a city, she would take miraculous medals and she would throw them over the fence onto the property that she most desired. And so I thought, if it worked for her, you know, we got to ask. When Our Lady appeared to St. Catherine Labre and gave her the miraculous medal, she was holding a ball in her hands. And on her fingers, they were covered with rings. And all of the rings were filled with gems. And St. Catherine noticed that from most of the gems, this light was radiating out onto this ball. But some of the gems gave forth no light at all. And this is what Our Lady said to her: "The ball which you see represents the whole world and every person in particular. These rays symbolize the graces I shed upon them for those who ask for them. The gems from which rays do not fall are the graces for which souls forget to ask or are too afraid to ask or do not believe that they will receive, so they never make the prayer. My brothers and sisters, may we not be among that number. Let's ask our Lord for the grace of confidence. And I'd recommend that as you receive him today, when you go back to your pew and he is dwelling in you, that you hear him say to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then don't be afraid to let him know.